Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers. Yeah, there's the bottom line, Key. I'm with Jay.
Probably would have went for it.
I'm with Jay. Four.
Go for it.
You got three. Okay, if it was fourth and one, he goes for it, right? It's fourth and three, so now he's thinking, we got to pick up three. But the bottom line is,
I'd rather three is a lot easier to get than 50, whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it, 50?
56-yard field goal.
56-yard field goal in the rain. It's just a, picking up the extra. I just, even though that defense is stout in the run game, I felt like I'd have just took my chance and went for it on fourth and three.
Think about even if you kick the field goal, you're leaving Tom Brady 47 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, but he got to show me, though.
But he's all he got to do is get him field goal range. It's a what is it, at that point, a two-point game?
Yeah, I get it, but he would have had to show me. He just would have had to show me.
I think he'd have shown you.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, also, if Falk had a bad plant leg, if you know that, right? Like, if that's a
I don't even know what that means, man.
Like, you know, like soccer, or obviously, I'm having a field goal kicker. I play soccer my whole life, though. Like, the leg that you use to plant when you go to kick.
So, no,
like,
your left leg, obviously. I get it, but the whole, you know, the selling the plant leg.
Just
plant
anything
leg.
Around kickers, you ain't trying to hear details
it's
on
just,
that.
It's plant leg. I'm like, okay, man, that ain't got nothing to do with him missing that field goal.
That hug was so fast, they had to play it in slow motion to make it look.
Well, you wasn't going to hug him for a long time. I mean, you knew that he was just going to give him a quick, you know. And it took him a minute to get to him because he probably was, you know, took him a minute. They stayed there, the cameras. They waited, and he finally got the little two-second shot.
I mean, the whole circus of everything, like the whole event. I mean, everything from as a player, it's all about your routine. That's always what it's been like for me, though, Key. Like everything, like I like this routine before I go into my game. I like to stay focused. And if you're Tom Brady yesterday, your routine had to be so different because from the time you get out, there was a report that says he usually goes in the field. He didn't go in the field before a game. He stayed in the locker room. He met with Robert Kraft. Like all the conversation, like, you know, he comes out on the field, sees Josh McDaniels, has a quick embrace, like all these different things, just the emotion that led up to the game is so different than what Tom is used to facing. I'm not saying that factored into him having a poor performance, but it does partake to some degree about how you prepare for a game.
But did he really have a poor performance? Or did he have a performance that he was going to have against the New England Patriots? See, I don't think he had a poor performance.
Let's rank
it. The weather, though, the rain. I mean, it seemed like he was pressing at the beginning of the game a little bit. Like, he didn't have his number one target in Gronk. It just seemed like things were
right.
Things were different.
Let's take the factors and rank them, okay? Key, you came closest to getting this right. The kind of game it was going to be, like, you didn't predict rain, but you might as well have, right? It's that kind of slogging game. It was going to be closer than people thought. It wasn't going to be pretty, all that. But let's take the factors, because, Jay, you're saying one of them is Brady wasn't in his routine. To me, the biggest factor is Gronk's not on the field for Brady. But someone else might say it's the defense because Belichick knows Brady. If you had to rank the reasons the game turned out so close, what would they be?
I would start off by saying, one, Belichick and the New England Patriots know Brady. Two, Belichick and the defensive staff knows Brady. Three, there was no Gronkowski, and if it was a Gronkowski, guess what? They know him too. So that's kind of
you just familiarity. Familiarity.
It rains in Tampa. It rains literally in Tampa in the middle of a monsoon in games. Yeah. And he played 20 years in that weather, so that's nothing.
I think, but I mean, it seems like the opening game, a lot of balls, some balls were sailing high. You know, some balls are right outside the catch radius of Antonio Brown, seemed like, you know, or Mike Evans. It seemed like the typical passes that Brady would make, it seemed like they were just slightly off. Like, you know, we're even talking about just slightly off. Like, passes that were typically, hey, like, these were passes that would get you 15, 20 yards. I mean, balls are just off. It felt like he was pressing to a degree.
I think the other thing we have to recognize is Mac Jones had a nice game. Right? He's early in his career, he had a nice game. But
why are you laughing?
Tom Brady was however many similarities people want to point out, he was the kind of quarterback where early in his career, he won the close games. He did things to win these close games. That was the kind of game where when they had Brady, even as a young guy, they won that game. And it's been a couple of years since Brady's been gone. And those kind of games, they started losing with Cam. And they're now 1-3?
Yeah.
Yep.
On the season. They're not 2-2. They're not on the verge of being a winning team because they're losing these kind of games. Isn't there, like, as similar as Mac Jones is in certain respects to Brady, and he can turn out to be a very good quarterback.
He ain't Tom Brady.
He ain't Tom Brady.
When they kept saying that on the telecast, I wanted to mute it so bad. I'm like, man, stop. It's just stop. I get it. He's tall. He's a pocket passer. He can't run. I understand all that. But he does not – there's nothing that made me think Tom Brady when I watched him. Not one thing. And he did a good job for what it was. He really did do a good job for what it was. Looked scared at times, but he was trying to run one time. I'm like, man, just throw the ball out of bounds, man. He was so spooked. He – at the end of the game, he almost threw the ball right to Devin White. He got so scared. He was just like, I was like, jeez.
He's a very young quarterback, but when I think about the Patriot way and the whole thing, is it Belichick or Brady? And of course, yes, it's both. But doesn't it seem like the luck that Belichick and Brady had all those years? That's really what people are talking about. The apparent luck, which we know there's something more going on there when it happens for 20 years. Didn't it seem Brady took that to Tampa with him and now that magic is gone in New England?
I don't think the magic is gone in New England. What was your famous line that you love about luck? Luck is the
residue of design.
Residue of design. So if you're talking about luck, I mean, look, the strategy that Bill had in this game, which is what I wanted to ask Key, and everybody's, you know, you said when you were ranking those things, you'd say, hey, yes, the defense, the game plan. What about the game plan specifically did you see with your eye that made you say, oh, this is why they know Tom Brady? This is what they're doing to Tom Brady.
Well, first, it was confusion for a guy who is as smart as Tom is and seen every defense. Pre-snap reads, he see one thing. Post-snap read, he sees something different. That's when you get off target where you see high throws or you see him hold a ball longer. I mean, he held the ball, sometimes he's holding the ball 4 and 5 seconds because what he saw pre-snap read wasn't what it ended up, meaning like he thought they were going to blitz, they back out. He thought something was coming from one side. It wasn't there. It was like not seeing ghosts, so to speak, but just a lot of confusion, different guys in places that he didn't anticipate them being based on the film that he probably watched in previous years or even leading up to what he saw over the last couple games. So when you're confusing people, you giving them one look and they think it's that look and then you go into something else. Mm. And people wouldn't dare say he was confused. That would be like, the worst thing in the world. How could you confuse Tom Brady? No, he was confused. He was confused. And that's okay because they understood another thing. Hit him. Knock him around. And from that standpoint, that's exactly what was happening.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Everyone wondered, going into the game, what would the interaction between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick be? After the game, you saw it last night. You saw it all over TV today. A quick little hug. They play it in slow motion so it lasts like a second. But Belichick went to the Bucs locker room where he and Brady met for more than 20 minutes. Brady was asked what they discussed.
I mean, all those are personal. So we've had a personal relationship and, you know, for 20 plus years. So he drafted me here and I've had a lot of personal conversations that should remain that way. And they're very private. And I would say so much is made of our relationship. And, you know, as I said earlier this week, you know, from a player standpoint, you just expect the coach to give you everything he's got. And I'm sure as a player, that's what he was hoping for me. But nothing's really accurate that I ever see. It's all kind of, you know, definitely doesn't come from my personal feelings or beliefs. And I have a lot of respect for him as a coach and obviously a lot of respect for this organization and, you know, all the different people here that try to make it successful.
All right, guys. What are you? What's the matter?
I'm just like, yeah, because he's right. Like, nothing, clearly, the stuff that's out in the universe is, like he said, it's not coming from us. It ain't, you know, so that's how he feels. And he's not going to tell you exactly what the conversation is. Why should he?
What about the fact that they met for 20 minutes?
I love that.
Yeah, if they don't see each other before the game, they're both busy, can't see each other during COVID at the hotel, they can't meet for dinner, they can't, I mean, it's just, that's the only time they can get together. Otherwise, I'm not going to see them again until offseason. So, yeah, I'll give you 20 minutes. It's usually the bus takes about 40 minutes after, maybe a little, yeah, probably about an hour after post game, and, you know, it's probably a little bit longer because it's Brady and he's going to do what he needs to do. So 20 minutes, it's good.
I love that they met afterwards. I love that, you know, regardless of who kind of pre-planned it, because, you know how it is, Key. When you play together with somebody for so long and you win 6 Super Bowls, you're bound to get a lot of different emotions from a lot of different people who are either disgruntled or happy along the way, which are a lot of people when you're Tom Brady or you're Bill Belichick and you're getting a lot of the praise, right? So, and everybody has different interpretations of how they see, you know, if I walk away today and I see you guys interact, by the time I tell somebody an interpretation of how you guys acted, by the time he explains it to somebody else, that could be different, right? Stories kind of, you know, mold, evolve into different things. And when those stories get written down on paper and it becomes the biggest story, for you guys to have that direct eye-to-eye contact, man-to-man, that's all that matters.
So what you think they said, Jay? What you think you were talking about?
I don't know. I got no idea. It ain't none of my business, to be honest with you.
What do you think, though? You think he said you played a hell of a game? We almost got you on that blitz. Do you think he said, I saw it coming?
I probably think they joshed around for a minute, and I probably think Bill said some of this stuff that was written down is BS. I don't know how you feel about it.
I don't think they even got into that. They probably laughed at that stuff. I think they laughed at the media and circus and the whole deal throughout the week. I bet you that's what they talked about. They probably talked a little bit about the game, and that was pretty much it.
Bill Belichick was also asked post-game about Brady.
Hey, Bill. You coached Tom Brady in practice for 20 years, but this is the first time you went ahead against him in a game. What was the experience like going?
We went against Tom Brady every day in practice defensively. So it's not like we've never seen Tom Brady before.
Was the experience of coaching against him in the game any different?
Yeah, they're a good football team. He's a great quarterback. I mean, I think that's all that goes without saying.
Bill crazy. Well, unbelievable.
So you spent time with him, and obviously you have a different relationship with him, but it just feels like you want to see a warmer version of Bill Belichick when he does embrace Tom. And I get it that he's not going to show you that because him and Tom have their own relationship. You may see that in different ways. But, like, you've seen that, right, that warmer side of Bill?
What else is he supposed to say?
I'm not saying he's supposed to say anything else. I'm just saying that sometimes I feel like as a fan you see that colder side of him. It allows you to speculate more about it.
It's, first of all, you're asking him a question about Tom Brady in approaching the game and things of that nature. And his answer is, we've seen him for 20 years in practice. Like, he's being sarcastic because he doesn't like the question because he doesn't want to call it a dumb question or a stupid question. It's just an obvious question to him. It's like, I've seen him for 20 years. What do you think? I'm going to forget what he looks like? I know what he is. I created him. So I've seen him. I know if I leave too much time on the clock, he's probably going to go down and score. I know if we allow him to just stand tall, he's going to shred us apart. I mean, those are the things that he already knows. So he, being Bill, he wasn't going to sit up there and just talk about, oh, my God, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback to live. It's self-explanatory. It's already there.
The subtext to every question asked, they want to know about the relationship, the whole thing. But again, the 21st century sports debate, the one was, is it Brady or Belichick? And the reason so many people, I think, like me, thought it has to be Belichick is because there are so many variables on a football team. You expect that no matter who the quarterback is, if you're great for 20 years, it's got to be because the coach, the GM, getting the right pieces, putting them in the right place. But Key, here's the thing now.
Max, if you put if you put Tom Brady on the New York Jets, which I think is probably the worst football team in the NFL,
sure.
Or you put Tom Brady on Detroit,
yeah,
that's not it. But Jacksonville, they're not going to win games.
I get it, but still, they are 17-6 now, including the playoffs by my count, right? 4 plus whatever else they've done since Brady got there. The Pats are 8-12 now. I'm just saying they're not 500. They're not, and when I brought up the Patriot Way thing, it's just the feeling when you watch the game where you just go, of course that team won. They always seem to win the close games. That's the Bucs now. It came down to a field goal, and it was the Patriots guy missing the field goal, right? Used to be the Patriots kicker would make the field goal.
Yeah, but the talent, man. The Bucs got talent. And New England has some talent, but New England doesn't have their talent.
Mm-hmm.
And New England does have competent coaches. It's not like they got fool's gold for coaches. I mean, Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles are pretty damn good coaches. Tom McNair is one of the top running back coaches in the National Football League. So they got a nice staff. And they got Tom Brady. They got Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and the defensive side of the ball. They got all that stuff. Secondary's not very good right now, but they still got players. That's why they're able to compete at the level that they're able to compete at.
Jay, I'm not saying.
That would be Jay.
I'm not saying that. What?
You said Jay.
Yeah.
I'm Jay.
Yeah,
you looked at me.
Well, I DJ. Moved my eyes from you to him.
You say what?
I was looking over here, and then I looked over there. Jay, I'm not saying, like, Key, of course, is right. Like, Brady on a bad team, they're not suddenly a good team. No. He chose a good team on purpose, right? Mm-hmm. But Belichick without Brady is 8-12 now in his last 20 games. 8-12 in his last 20 games.
Yeah, but that's like, it's like when Phil Jackson came to the Knicks. Right, it's like, all right, well, when Phil Jackson's working with Michael Jordan and working with Kobe Bryant, he's going to give you great results. When he was working with some of the players on the New York Knicks, those weren't the same results. Mm-hmm. It was the same system he tried to insert, same style, just not same results.
Or early Phil Jackson in Chicago.
There you go.
I mean, when he just had Mike. I mean, it's you got to have certain players in certain situations to be successful. And they may get Mac Jones up to speed to that point, but by the time he gets to where Tom Brady was, Bill will be long gone from coaching.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, time to go no huddle. Get you caught up on everything that happened outside of New England. Ravens won their third straight. Another strong performance by Lamar Jackson. With 3 seconds left in Sunday's game against the Broncos, the Ravens decided not to take a knee, to run out the clock instead. They chose to tie a 44-year-old NFL rushing record. Up 23-7, Coach John Harbaugh said it was 100% his call for quarterback Lamar Jackson to run 5 yards, which allowed Baltimore to record its 43rd straight game of 100 yards rushing and tie the Steelers' NFL record. Here is Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson on the decision.
You know, that's one of those things that's meaningful, you know, and it's one of those things that's, I think as a head coach, you got to be mindful of your team and your players and your coaches and what it means to them. It's a very, very tough record to accomplish, and it's a long-term record.
I don't know what he was thinking. I'm like, we're gonna take a knee right here. They're like, no, we're gonna go for it. And I'm like, so he pretty much got the game still. You know, Double A caught that pick in the back of the end zone. Congratulations to him. But I don't know what coach was thinking.
You appreciate it though. You wanted to get the record.
I'm happy we got the dub. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't really care about the record. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about winning the game.
I mean, he got the record. A lot, there might be, you know, once upon a time in talk radio, this would have been on fire. You throw it out, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, and ask people, are you okay with coach doing that? And at least half the people call, risking injury, and it's not the way you get a record about
can't
it.
Can't listen to those people.
I don't
Lamar,
think.
But Lamar Jackson had a terrific game. They won. They took care of business in Denver. That's all that matters.
I thought Lamar was going to shred him. The only thing that gave me pause was the back the receiver they drafted, Rashad Bateman, not having played the week before. But I thought Lamar was going to do well in Denver. He's great.
Well, I mean, it lets you know. You know, we always talk about, well, Denver was 3-0, but who you play actually matters, right? And Lamar Jackson proved that. Denver has some work to do, but I'll say this about Coach Harbaugh. I love the fact that he decided to go for it. I think as a player, when you see a coach pay attention to things like that, that lets you know he's a player's coach. He's in tune with what the players want to do as well. And that means something.
Denver Broncos got off to a slow start, although Teddy Bridgewater had to leave the game and give away to Drew Lock because of an injury and concussion protocol. So that kind of had the game kind of sway Baltimore's way, in my opinion. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you beat the New York teams and the Jags. Come on. Early on in that, you're 3-0, but you haven't really played a team yet. Meantime, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are 4-0. Kyler Murray led Arizona on a 37-20 win at the previously undefeated Rams. I thought the Rams were the best team in football, so that begs the question, are the Cardinals for real? Here is Damian Woody on SportsCenter.
The Cardinals are here, folks. They are here. They have arrived. You know, as much as we talked about the Los Angeles Rams last week in their victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cardinals went to L.A. and just completely dismantled the Los Angeles Rams. They were physical on both sides of the ball, and obviously Kyler Murray was the best player on the field. He is going to be a handful for the rest of the NFL because he is so adept not only with his legs, but just his pinpoint accuracy with his arm.
Mighty Mouse is unbelievable. There's no question about it. I enjoyed watching him run around and make plays, not only with his legs, but also in the air, continue to deliver the football. A big pickup for them is A.J. Green. Now you can't just decide, much like the day they decided to take DeAndre Hopkins out of the game with number 5 and Jalen Ramsey, but you got other problems because there are guys like Moore. There's guys like A.J. Green. And all of a sudden, there's a Williams that tied in where they're utilizing their tied in the air raid system, something that we haven't seen in the past. So the Arizona Cardinals are for real. You are what your records say you are, and they're number 1 in that division right now, and they'll probably stay there for quite some time.
Ah!
I love when I hear a key just stamp that feeling. I've been a fan of watching this team play the last couple of years. And, Max, we've talked about how they progressed. They've gotten better and better each year. Below 500 2 years ago, 500 last year. Now off to a hot start. And Kyler Murray is one of the most entertaining players there is in all of sports to pay attention to.
I thought Kyler Murray was going to light him up. I didn't know that Arizona would win the game, but I didn't think the Rams defense had anything for him because you mentioned A.J. Green. I love that pickup. By the way, J.J. Watt, too, they're getting guys who, for one reason or another, they're a little later in their career or they've been hurt. Their reputation suffered beyond the reality of the play. Like, we do brand or player, and usually that means, well, the brand is bigger than the player, but sometimes the player is better than the brand. And people forget, they just picked up the right kind of veteran pieces on this team, and that's a team that most picked to finish fourth in that division, but we all acknowledge one of those teams could win the division.
The 49ers finishing fourth, it looks like, right
Yeah,
now.
Right now, but any one of those teams in the preseason, you said, they could go on a Super Bowl run, any one of those four teams.
Yeah, J.J. Watt, I mean, he's a brand, but
he can still play.
He hadn't really given me a whole lot.
What he was 5 years ago, but he could still play. And A.J. Green, because he's been hurt a lot, people forget the level of receiver he is.
Yeah, he's a big-time player.
Yeah, he is.
The Bears' offense had a much different outcome against the Lions than they did in Justin Fields' first career start versus Cleveland. From 9 sacks to just 1 and a 24-14 victory for Chicago, here's ESPN Bears reporter Jeff Dickerson on primetime on what the biggest difference was.
The game plan today just seemed to make a lot more sense. So I'm not saying at all that Nagy is not ultimately the guy in charge of the game plan. It's just the scheme seemed better. The play calling, they got into a rhythm, which they usually don't get into. They were rarely chasing third and long. It was always, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards on first down. So I just think everything collectively from the top to the bottom just made a lot more sense and was a lot more cohesive today on offense with the play calls.
It was. I think when you look at what Chicago was able to do with Fields at quarterback, his second straight start settled in, although all week long Matt Nagy wanted to dupe everyone and make them think that somebody else was going to start at quarterback, which I knew that wasn't going to be the case. You don't start. You start Justin Fields. You don't play games with him. They went out there and got the W, but he played exceptionally well, in my opinion, for a guy only in his second start. You can certainly tell that the offense was different from a week ago when 9 sacks were surrendered to the Cleveland Browns.
Only sacked once this game. And the Bears' season high is 24 points, total yards as well, 373. But it's always interesting for me just to follow the storyline and the narrative of Matt Nagy and how Matt Nagy acknowledges the fact that he allowed play calling to be done by Bill Lazor, very similar to what it was last year, then slightly kind of retracting it, taking it back. The back and forth, the saga continues, Max, with the Matt Nagy narrative.
I mean, with young quarterbacks, it's pretty straightforward, right? You're playing a good defense in Cleveland. It's your first start. You have a bad offensive line. Matt Nagy's play calling, dropping you back every pass. They're not protecting you. I mean, et cetera, et cetera. You have a bad game. The next week, they learn from a few mistakes. Maybe Matt Nagy's not calling the plays. They don't drop him back as much. They're playing a bad team, et cetera. He does better. That ain't rocket science, I don't think. All right. And maybe the most impressive win of the weekend was delivered by America's team, at least putatively America's team. The Panthers had been 3-0 and allowed a total of 30 points in their first three games, but they hadn't faced an offense like Dallas. And behind Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys won 36-28. Here's Zeke with Ed Werder on the win.
What's this offense capable of? You talked about being the number one offense in football this year. You think you're headed in that direction?
I think we definitely are. I think this offense is capable of anything. We're so versatile. We have so many playmakers. We're so deep at every position. So it's like you got to pick your poison.
You feel like you guys are playing the best football you've played since 2016 when you and Dak were rookies?
I think we're playing good football right now. I think we're winning football games, but I want to see us go out there and finish. I want to see us go out there and really blow somebody out. I think in the past couple of weeks we were in a situation where, you know, it could have either, you know, we could kind of let off the gas pedal and still be win comfortably, or we can just go ahead and choke them out. So, I mean, I want to see us go out there and choke guys out.
All right. I figured Dallas was the better football team here. I mentioned the Panthers didn't. The one win they had was the Saints, and the Saints had COVID in the coaching staff, offensive coaching staff. But, Key, this game was kind of billed as the Cowboys offense versus the Panthers defense, and the Cowboys offense won.
Cowboys' offense is legit. It's probably one of the top four offenses in the National Football League as far as playmakers, explosiveness, things that they can do. They may not be as explosive as Kansas City. They may not be as explosive at times as Buffalo. But they're certainly a team that can put up a lot of points when healthy. You look at Kansas City. You look at Buffalo. You got Dallas there. And I'm thinking of one other team.
Rams?
The Rams. Well, not yesterday.
Arizona?
Arizona, the Rams. So when you talk about teams that could high volume, they certainly fit up there because across the board from receiver position, tight end position, quarterback and running back, they're deep. Offensive line is stout. That only allows your defense to get better. It allows guys like Micah Parsons and Diggs, young guys, to grow. When you look at them, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. It's going to come down to the end for this Dallas Cowboy team. They're going to, in my opinion, they're going to run away with this division. They're going to get a really good seeding in the playoffs, and they're going to be one of those teams that people who were sitting around waiting for the bottom to fall out over the last couple of years are going to probably have to eat their words. They're going to move the goalposts on them and say, oh, they only made it to the divisional round. They didn't make it to the championship. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. And then they make it to the championship game. Oh, they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. They're a really good football team, Jay. They are a really good football team.
Man, and Trayvon Diggs is emerging into a defensive MVP candidate. I mean, it's just – he's had five interceptions thus far in the season. Two yesterday in the game against Sam – one that we returned for a TD. You have to give a big shout-out to Dan Quinn and what he's been able to do with this defense because we always talked about their offense having the ceiling to be prolific, but if their defense could be marginal. And their defense being that with Trayvon Diggs, second-year cornerback, I mean, it's special.
When you can run the football the way that they ran the ball yesterday with a mix between Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, who rushed for about 44 yards, that's portable. You could take that on the road and travel with that. When the weather starts to change, when you come play the Giants in MetLife Stadium, that travels. When you decide to go to a Green Bay, that travels. That is the key to having success on a team.
Is Dallas a more souped-up version of the Cleveland Browns?
No, because the quarterback is better.
But that's what I said. It's Dallas more of a souped-up version. Because the quarterback is better.
Yeah,
exactly. That's
better.
What I'm saying. But run options, think about Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, right? How Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott, similar, you know, wide receivers. I mean, I know OBJ is at a high clip, but I'm just saying. It's similar when you think about the two teams, though.
Yeah, they are similar. But I think Dallas might be slightly better.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think
slightly better
version of Cleveland. Yeah.
Slightly better. I think it'll be interesting to see if they were to play each other again this year, unlike a year ago, when 2 years ago, was it last year or 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years
Which
ago
one?
Cleveland played Dallas. I think it was 2 years ago they played them. It's a different team than what Cleveland saw a year ago, early in the season before OBJ got hurt. It's a different team.
If you look at that, maybe Cleveland actually has a better O-line now, but if you look at Dallas, where's the weakness when you see Dak has elevated himself now? He was ascending. He was trending in that direction. He's an elite quarterback now. Like, you say, well, he's always elite. But elite being top 10 or whatever that number is, he's on another level now. You can put him top 5. Quarterback. You got an offensive line where they've been banged up in recent years. You got depth at running back. You have much more depth at receiver than Cleveland does. You have a tight end now. Your defense got better, and you got a playmaker in the middle of the defense in the front seven. Like, they're loaded.
Yeah,
the Dallas got
Dallas
loaded.
Dallas is a good football team with good coaching staff now. I think Mike McCarthy's done a tremendous job. But when you add Dan Quinn to the equation, you get a former head coach who's gone to a Super Bowl, who's been to Super Bowls as defensive coordinators. He understands what it is from a defensive standpoint. The offense was never a problem. It was always what the defense was going to be. Is this defense going to give up 40 points, or are they going to hold people to under, 20 points? Is that what we're going to – if they can do that, the Cowboys are going to be an interesting out in the NFC.
Yeah, I would say, Max, to answer your question, the only hiccup I would see that I would – and I'm not saying it's going to pan out this way, but I would pay attention to it more is in critical game situations, clock management.
McCarthy.
By McCarthy.
Well,
like the details of how he handles those type of scenarios will be fascinating.
That's going to be important because when you play the good teams, like what the Cowboys have shown so far to me, play a bad team, they beat them up, the Eagles, right? Play a solid team, they win by over it by two scores, give or take, the Panthers. Play good teams, it gets close. They lost barely to the Bucs. They beat the Chargers barely, right? Like these are close games, and those kind of critical late game decision making moments are going to be big.
Yeah, he didn't make any bad decisions in the Chargers game. They won. He didn't make any bad decisions in the Bucs game, and they should have won. So I don't, you know, just because he didn't call a timeout to get three more points on the board, does it make? I'm not going to put him in a position as a bad game manager. I know that narrative was floating out there over a week ago. Oh, well, listen, you can't. It's like you're looking for a reason for him not to be successful. And that is not the way you should be viewing the games.
That is true. I mean, when people feel like the media is negative, it's because perfection is not interesting, right? So to tell a story, you're looking for the weaknesses, the moments where, or the parts where maybe they don't come up big enough, and so they might fail. That's part of the story. So when we look at a team like the Cowboys that are loaded and are playing better on defense, we are looking for reasons that, you know, maybe it won't work out. And Mike McCarthy's clock management so far is one thing that's been identified.
Well, I never said that he was a bad game manager. I just think it's something that as the season progresses and if Dallas continues to get closer to their ceiling when the games are close, there will be a heightened sense of awareness around what's actually occurring in those moments on Mike McCarthy. That's all.
Zeke's 46-yard rush in the third quarter was his longest since 2016, his rookie season, and third longest of his career. Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We are asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, which team had the most impressive win on Sunday? Solomon in Los Angeles. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Solly, man, you up?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my – hi, guys. You know, I got to tell you, I'm in L.A., but I'm actually a Charger fan. I used to be a Ram fan, but that's a long story. I did not think the Arizona Cardinals were going to take it to the Rams. Now, I could see them winning 17 points. I mean, could we say they kind of whooped them? I did not expect that. That was an amazing surprise, and I was very impressed with them. And as a previous caller said, they are for real.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one that did see it coming. I think the Rams feel the same way this morning. They didn't see it coming, and quite frankly, neither did I. I thought that they would, you know, score some points maybe, but not just dominate in all phases of the game. That's one that you got to kind of rewind and be like, huh?
Did Jared Goff ever lose to the Cardinals? Like, no, right?
I think Jared Goff might be undefeated against the Cardinals.
Keyshawn.
Because if you think about it, Sean McVay is 4-0 against them.
That's right, yeah.
And then prior to that, I'm sorry. Kyler Murray is 0-4 against Sean McVay. So Kyler Murray got there the year before. So, yeah, Jared Goff is undefeated against him.
Mm. Yeah, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's go to a meeting between future Hall of Famers. So the Packers beat the Steelers. No big surprise. Here's Big Ben on the third straight loss for Pittsburgh.
You know, we've had some down years. I don't know that it's probably never started like this, like you said. What a challenge for us. I think this is going to test us all, that we need to look, in the mirror, and we need to figure out what path we want to take, you know. And I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to come out tomorrow and give it everything I have and do the same thing this week and get ready to go. And I just hope and pray that everyone else in that locker room does the same thing, because I think it potentially can be easy to quit in a situation like this, and I don't think that we have that in this locker room.
Yeah, I don't think that no one's going to quit, but they're not a good football team. They're not a good football team all the way around. They're just not a good football team. And when you're not a good football team, things don't happen for you good. It's time, and they've had a great run, and they're going to win a few games this year, but Pittsburgh is just shot. I mean, it is what it is.
And yesterday, I mean, I watched Mac Jones play a good game last night. I watched Davis Mills, you know, get his head beat in by the Bills on the road. And then I watched Big Ben. And I'm like, how the hell is Cam Newton still sitting at home? Like, you know, some, you better call Cam. You know, bring it, Key. Call him.
No, they're not going to do that right
Why
now.
Why not? Why wouldn't you call him?
They should have called 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago.
If they was going to do anything a month ago, you know.
Ben Roethlisberger was a special quarterback for a long time.
Yeah.
And a special quarterback can make up for the bad years and make you better than
you
ought to be.
Man, we got a lot out of being. They should be happy.
Put you over the top in the good years. But that dude is gone. It's no longer a quarterback-coach combination in Pittsburgh. It's just a coach.
Yeah. It's fine.
Just give him a
call, man. We head to New England with someone who was there for all of it. That's next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.